Amy Ballard sits perched on the edge of her couch. On a normal day, this room would be filled with the sound of Ballard's fussing infant twins or her friends gathered around the dining table.
I loved hosting. I loved the kitchen. I loved how big it is. I like how I'm saying this in past tense because it feels weird.
Today, it's quiet, except for the sound of the rushing Mendenhall River just outside the window. Last month, a glacial outburst flood threatened to sweep away Ballard's condo. She had just 30 minutes to grab her twins and some essentials as the water tore away at the riverbank beneath her building. This is the first time she sat down on her couch since that night. Ballard can't bring herself to sleep here anymore.
I really need to just, like, get over it and live here, but I can't. I think it's done. That's hard.
6 weeks later, flood recovery is just beginning. Some homeowners are figuring out how to rebuild. Others are reassessing completely. Ballard falls somewhere in between. She and her twins are keeping cramped quarters with her parents, who own a condo across the parking lot. She'd like to move out and resettle somewhere else, but she's in financial limbo. Insurance denied her claim, and state disaster aid is moving slowly. Meanwhile, she's still paying a mortgage and property taxes for a home she no longer feels safe in. And Ballard, along with the other owners in her condo complex, is on the hook for more than $20,000 to the Homeowners Association for post-flood construction and repairs.
I don't have money to put down in another place. I mean, most people do not have money to just dump into fixing their places after natural disasters.
The goal is to protect the condos from the force of future floods. But it won't be enough to keep Ballard here.
The river was beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful. And now I look at it differently. Like, oh my gosh, you can't fight nature. Nature's gonna win, right? Like, that's something that I thought about a lot with.
Across the river from Ballard's third floor balcony, a dump truck drops a load of boulders onto the bank.
They've put so much rock in.
All along the river, restoration work has begun. Upstream, a large stretch of the riverbank in Joe Pagankoff's neighborhood is now lined with walls of rock. Gravel and sand are piled up around the foundation of his house on River Road.
150 dump truck loads.
Pagankoff and his wife had just finished paying off the mortgage when the flood eroded away their backyard. About a third of the house was left hanging over the riverbank. They considered it a total loss until a contractor told them it might be salvageable.
Really, I don't think I've taken more than about a 24-hour period off working on the house. And it's been mind-bogglingly hard.
Contractors were able to stabilize the building, but the bank is only partly restored. Their house is still suspended. So Pagankoff has been rebuilding the land by hand. Each day, he crawls underneath the house, equipped with a small shovel. Okay,
this is my sandbox. And there's about 5 feet of walled sand that way. I'm about a third done. And so bit by bit, I'm shoveling over there and packing it in and then just moving my way this way.
Even as Pagankoff is doing so much of the work himself, the cost for contractors and materials will come out to about $150,000. Pagankoff had to cash in on his retirement savings to fit the bill. All this restoration work that he and his neighbors are doing is far from over. And Pagankoff said the real test will come with next year's flood.
The one thing this Yokolup proved is there is no complete. There is no certainty.
Meanwhile, Elizabeth Kent has nothing left to save. She lived in the house from the viral video, the one of a white house collapsing into the river. Kent and her husband were on sabbatical in Nicaragua when it happened. Her colleagues saw the video on news channels there. Kent and her neighbors along the riverbank helped each other to figure out what numbers to call. In the weeks after the flood, she spent a lot of her free time calling insurance companies, her mortgage broker, the city, and the state.
I think there's this momentum right after it happened of like, okay, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to find all the resources and like figure out next steps. And like, you can't.
None of those agencies have promised any aid. By now, Kent feels she's exhausted all of her options. Recovery has become a waiting game. Kent says some officials have told her to hold out for federal assistance from FEMA, but she has her doubts. FEMA is already facing a funding shortage after other devastating disasters last month, including the deadly wildfire in Maui and Hurricane Idalia in Florida.
Kent's been spending a lot of time thinking about people in those places.
It does make me realize that, oh my gosh, all the disasters I've ever heard about, this is what happened to those people afterwards.
For now, she's staying in Nicaragua. She's not yet sure when or how she'll rebuild when she comes home. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.